facts. I'm going to read from the 19th verse. Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus, and as far as Antioch, preaching the word to none other but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to see Paul, or Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I would like to begin by making the statement that the book of Acts is full of outstanding stories. And this is one of them. In fact, this is a story one of a kind. You might ask the question, in what way? Anytime something is a first, it's a one of a kind. And the believers were called Christians first in Antioch. The Bible says in the 26th verse. And I would like to begin by saying the people after the day of Pentecost, and they were skeptical of the believers and how they were living and the rest since that time. And here, because of the way that the believers were living, as Juanita has just mentioned, they were tagged with a new name. They were given a new title. They were called Christians. And so I'd like to give a little bit of background, if I could. The Bible says they were called Christians first in Antioch. Not in the Promised Land, not in Jerusalem, but in Antioch. Antioch was a Syrian city. In fact, it was the capital of Syria at that time. And it was on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. And the Bible tells me that at this very time, when all this happened in the book of Acts, that there had already been six world powers. There had been Egypt and Assyria, there had been Babylon and Media Persia, there had been the Grecian Empire, and then the Romans. And the Romans were now in control, but the Bible tells us that when the Grecians were in control, before the Lord was born, before Jesus came, some 300 years before Jesus was born, that there was a man by Seleucus Nicator, and that was the emperor of the Grecian Empire, and as he was the emperor, he had a father by the name of Antiochus. And he was a man that built a lot of cities. Seleucus Nicator. The emperor built a lot of cities, and in honor of his father Antiochus, he named 16 of his cities Antioch. The first seven word letters of the name Antiochus, in honor of his father. And this is one of them. Not in the Promised Land, not in Jerusalem, but in Syria, in the capital city of Antioch. The question is asked, how did it all come about? Why did they call the believers Christians? And I'm going to use three words tonight to try to explain what I believe the Bible says, why the Christian people, the believers, were called Christians in Antioch. I would like to use three words: persecution, preaching, and the power of God. Persecution, preaching, and the power of God. It almost been 10 years at this time since Jesus had been crucified and buried and raised from the dead and then returned to the Father in heaven. So I would like, I don't know whether I'll be able to memorize it or have it all in my mind, but if I don't, I'll look at my notes. And I'd like to begin with the first chapter of Acts and mention the first 11 chapters where I've come to tonight in the Bible reading. The Bible says in the first chapter of Acts that after Jesus had risen from the dead and been with the disciples
Sometime he went out to the Mount of Olives, and in the first chapter of Acts, the Bible said he ascended into heaven. As he was caught away, the Bible said, and angels appeared unto the men there, and they said, why, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here looking up into the heavens? The same Jesus that ye see go away is coming again in like manner as you see him go away. Listen to the first chapter of the book of Acts. I found out that Jesus went away, but is coming back again. Aren't you glad? In the second chapter of Acts, we find that the Lord had arrived at the glory world with His Father, and He sends the Holy Ghost. And while they were gathering in the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, and the anointing came upon them, and the church was off to a good start. And on that day, 3,000 were saved. God was building the church. In the third chapter, Peter, John were going to the house of God for prayer, a time of prayer meeting, and a lame man was there, and Peter said, look on us, and the man was expecting come, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And when he took him by the hand, the power of God went through his body, and he came up from there leaping and running and jumping and praising God. Brother, when God does the work, he does it good. But the healing of the blind man, of the lame man, caused a stir amongst the religious people. And the Bible said there was persecution. They put some in jail in the fourth chapter. But 5,000 more got saved. God was building the church. He said, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You can mark that down. I was singing before service. The Lord didn't say, I will build my church and the gates of hell must not. He didn't say that. He said it shall not. Mark it down. We're going to win. Amen. I went on to the fifth chapter and I found that two members of the Jerusalem church lied to the Holy Ghost and they died. I come to the sixth chapter and I find that God is still moving and God is still working in behalf of the people. And so, as he was built, the church was building and growing. The men said, the leader said, we must elect some deacons to help us with the administration. And they elected deacons in the seventh chapter. One of the deacons, by the name of Stephen, was before the council, the high council of Israel, and gave his testimony. And while he was talking about the mercies and the goodness of God, Holy Ghost conviction came upon the hearts of the people. Condemnation hit the hearts, and they drug him outside the city and stoned him to death. But the church kept on growing. In the eighth chapter, another deacon by the name of Philip went down to Samaria and began to preach the good news of the salvation of the Lord, of the gospel message. And the Bible said there was revival in the city. And when I read out the last part, it says, and there was great joy in that city. Let me say this tonight. When there's salvation, when people turn their lives over to God, when there's revival, there's real joy. When I come to the ninth chapter, I find a man by the name of Saul persecuting Christians on his way to persecute and to imprison Christians. And he met the Master on the road to Damascus and accepted Christ as a Savior. I come to the tenth chapter, I find that Peter, by the direction of Almighty God, goes to Cornelius' house, a Gentile. A man that had come here for more, like the lady that Juanita testified about tonight, she has seen something real, no doubt reaching out hungry for something that would change her life and satisfy. Cornelius is hungry for something to happen in his life. God sends Peter, and Peter, as he lies there and he has the whole family together, Peter begins to preach the word. And while he's preaching, the Bible says, These people from Cornelius' household, they believe what Peter's preaching, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says they too spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, as they did on the day of Pentecost. And I've said this before, I'm going to repeat it tonight. When the Holy Ghost comes and fills your heart and life, it'll be the same experience that they had on the day of Pentecost or any time later since that time. Our God is still working. Hallelujah. He's still building the church. I come to the 11th chapter that I've read tonight. I mentioned earlier that I want to use three words. Why? The church grew in such a way. Why? Did they have such prosperity and all the rest in the church? I'm not talking about money now. I'm talking about successful revivals and the rest. Persecution. Preaching.
and the power of God. Persecution began in the third chapter when some were incarcerated, put in jail. And it goes on, it's culminated in the seventh chapter when Stephen is stoned to death. I know there was persecution after that. But on my sermon tonight, I want you to see that from the third chapter until the seventh chapter of Acts, how the persecution was there. And think of it, if you will, through the persecution, Satan thought that he could silence the believers. He could shut down the lives and the testimony and the preaching of the people of God and the saints of God. He thought that if they did not get the good news of the gospel out, that somehow he would destroy the young church. But it didn't work out that way because of persecution. The Bible says the believers were scattered, and everywhere they went, they held up the name of Jesus and preach the word of God. What do you say, preacher? I believe God allowed persecution to come to build the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Before he went away, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And now the Bible says they've received the Holy Ghost, and they're all gathered in Jerusalem, and they're having the churches growing, and it's building, and a lot of things are happening, but they're not reaching out yonder, and they're not reaching out yonder. And so God allows persecution to come, and when it does, the church is scattered, and everywhere they were scattered, they held up the banner of holiness and the salvation of the blood of Jesus, and God added to the church. Persecution was in the will of God. God used persecution to get the word out yonder, out of the city of Jerusalem. What a story. What a story. Persecution. Let me and I don't have the historical data. I didn't look it up tonight. I could have, but I didn't take time for that. Did you know probably the fastest growing church nation in the world, Christianity? Guess where it is? In communist China. The church has been persecuted, beaten, put to death, imprisoned. You read the heavenly man that we have, the book in the library. What all that he went through, and the church is keeping on growing. It's growing tonight. They're printing thousands of Bibles a day. In printing presses in China underground, because the churches are not allowed to worship openly in the field, in their own free will. It's nothing but a sham. But the underground church is growing. Let me leave another part with you as well. In India, in Hindu country, where there's so much opposition to Christianity, the church is growing. What are you saying, Brother Jones? Because they're suffering and there's persecution. I'm not asking God to send persecution our way, but I want you to know the persecution came to the church, the early church, and they scattered, and everywhere they went, they talked about Jesus, and God came, and the church kept on growing. God is big, amen. Let me leave a story with you, if I may. Remember the story of Joseph. His brothers were jealous, and so they had the opportunity, so they sold him into slavery. Down into Egypt, and he ended up in Potiphar's house. They've gotten rid of that brother that had dreams, that dreamed about God moving and God blessing. We won't listen to that anymore. And 10 years go by, and 20 years go by, and the brothers have never heard that. They think maybe Daddy thinks he's dead. They don't know where he is. After some 20-some years, the famine came in the land, persecution. Bible said Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt, and on second trip, Joseph made himself known. I'm your brother. I'm your brother. This is what he said. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. If we can get that in our minds and in our spirits tonight, things might go wrong, seem like, in your life, but God might be working something out for your good. Amen, amen. Do you believe that all things work together for good to them that love God? Hallelujah, persecution came, but God said, I want you to tell the news everywhere. And now, because of persecution, they went to Antioch, and they went here, and they went there. And the Bible says when the things began to go in such a manner, and God was blessing in such a way, that they called for Barnabas and sent Barnabas down there. And so I want to leave to go to the next point tonight, if I can. I talk about persecution, and we have not had it in my lifetime in the church in America. I mentioned that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. We don't know anything about real persecution. I've heard old timers talk about how that things happened, that they were run out of town, and they were They threw eggs at them and tomatoes at them and cut down the tents. They were preaching a Holy Ghost revival, and in the middle of the night they would cut the tent down so the meeting would have to be over, no place to preach. Persecution. Let me just leave one other word straight. Just came to my mind. I don't know how much hand that God had in his all, but God's in control. Have you ever heard about the Dust Bowl days? Oklahoma became a Dust Bowl. Western part of Arkansas became a Dust Bowl. Southern part of Kansas became a Dust Bowl. Farms, they dried up. No rain. No harvest. No money. People got their belongings, whatever they had. One of the deacons of our church in California, he walked away from a farm, tried to sell anything he could. His wife had put up some canned fruits and all the rest, and went to Oklahoma City and tried to sell as much as they could to get a little bit of money to go to California. And they went by the thousands during the Dust Bowl days. And our church, we arrived in 1970, our church in Lamont, California, was the first Pentecostal Holiness Church organized in the state of California. And some of those in our church had arrived 1936, 1937, 1938 in the Dust Bowl days. They were getting up in age now while we were there in 1970. My wife got out has a newspaper clipping from one of the ladies in our church that was in her 60s when we were there, that's gone on to glory now. She died at the age, I think it was 88, wasn't Fanny? I think it was 88 or something like that. But she arrived in California in 1937 with two children and her husband. Dust Bowl day, persecution. But when they arrived there, they didn't forget God. They started a new church. Difficulties, hardships. And in the midst of it all, God was building the church. The second thing I want to mention is preaching. I want you to notice in the two verses there, what was the verse that I started with? Verse 16? 19. I want you to notice in verse 19 and verse 20, two times that the word preaching is mentioned. Not only was persecution, they said he was out to destroy the young church, and God caused it to spread the gospel. But preaching is mentioned twice. Until this time, most all the preaching was directed towards the Jews, the Hebrews, the seed of Abraham. But now the Bible says the gospel was being shared with the Grecians and with the Romans and with whosoever, with the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And before Jesus returned to his Father, he said, greater gave the Great Commission. And now, because of persecution, they're going out there and they're preaching the gospel. Brother, let me say this tonight. You cannot close down the gospel if it's real. If it's real in North Carolina, it'd be real in Virginia. I believe it's real everywhere. And we don't have to change it. We don't have to order it down because people just don't like it nowadays, or people don't want you to just preach it just like it is. But listen closely. Preaching is what brought the church into being. And one more thought. Paul was writing to Timothy that last letter. He was encouraging him to be faithful and to guide the truth of the gospel and protect it and proclaim it. This is what he said. And Timothy, whatever you do, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And I have determined, I know that I've made a lot of blunders. But as I wind down my ministry, I hope everyone will understand, time is too precious to waste it on everything else. The word of God will get the job done. Preach the word. Tell the people the word of God. How did lives get changed? How do people see our lives? That we're different from them. It's not because we're pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's not because we're good. But because of the word of God that we heard changed our lives. Brother, it's real tonight. Preach the word. And it was the preaching of the gospel that changed the lives of so many in that early church. And I said a while ago, but when Barnabas was sent down to Antioch, the Bible says that he was sent by the church that they might be established, the young people might be established, the young converts might be established in the truth of God's word. And when they got down there and saw what was going on, Barnabas said to himself, I'm going to Tarsus. I'm going to get Paul. His name was still Saul at that time. I'm going to get Saul. He's been converted. He's been filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's no longer out there preaching. Let me leave something with you. Saul was converted on the road to Damascus. Afterwards, he began to preach about Jesus. Persecution came. They were going to kill him. He was let down in a basket over the wall and escaped from Damascus. Went into the wilderness and had conversation with Almighty God. Learning at the feet of Jesus. After he left there, went to Jerusalem. Met with the leaders, the elders. And some of them were still afraid of Paul. And rather than going out to the mission field, rather than taking a church, rather than starting a new church, Paul went home to Tarsus and stayed there some 10 years. And Barnabas remembers that man had the goods. That man was anointed. That man is useful for the kingdom of God. He doesn't need to be set away somewhere in Tarsus. He needs to be on the field. And Barnabas leaves Antioch. He goes to Tarsus. Gets Paul. His name hasn't been changed yet. Brings him back to Antioch. And the Bible says for 1 year, Barnabas and Paul, they began to teach and instruct and establish the young converts, those that had just been saved, into the truths of God's Word. I want to say one more thing right here tonight. It's important for evangelists to be on the field and to win the lost to Christ and get them into the altars and get them saved. But when the evangelist leaves, it's up to the church to get them established, to help them to be built up and nurse them and help them along the way. And Paul and Barnabas got the church under their wing, and they began to teach and establish in the truths of God's Word. They preach the Word, and the Word is what sets people free. Aren't you glad you heard the Word? Amen, amen. Ye shall know the truth. I asked that question in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Anybody know where that scripture is in the Bible? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Missy came up with the best answer. She came up with a book next to it. She answered Luke, and it's in the book of John, but she was close. No one else came that close. But I want to leave the scripture with you. It's the truth that sets us free. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's the truth of God's Word. All of it. Somebody asked me some time ago when we had that round sign. We call it the lollipop sign. It's down now. I like it. There's a whole lot better. And it said full gospel. I had somebody come to the church and want to know exactly what is full gospel. And so I had the opportunity to tell them what we believed as a church. We believe all the Bible has to say. We're not only salvation through the blood of the Lamb, we believe in sanctification. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe in divine healing. We believe in the second coming of the Lord. If it's in this book, we believe it. But the thing about it is, I want to hurry along here. Persecution caused them to be scattered. But wherever they went, they preached the gospel. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Somebody preached and you heard. Someone preached and I heard the gospel. Someone preached and God got a hold of my heart. Someone touched God in the ministry of the Word. And when they did, the Holy Ghost began to move and pricked our hearts and our lives. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for preaching. I got a letter yesterday from Franklin Graham. He wrote to me with my name, and I'm just a pastor representing our church. He thanked our church for what we have done over the years. What we're doing every month, we have Samaritan Purse on our mission schedule every month. Just recently, we gave so many $1,000 to the need in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut from the Hurricane Sandy. He wrote me a letter thanking the church, and he sent me a book that he's written. I just got it and started reading it yesterday, just a small book. He's the son of Billy Graham. And I thought as I was beginning, he said, "Thank you, church, for being a part." I was listening to the news. This is important to me. I was listening to the news, and I heard, and I saw when our president, when the hurricane came and the Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, a Republican, invited our president to come, and he went. And rightfully so, and he was there hugging the people, encouraging the people, and saying, "We're going to do everything we can. We promise you, we're going to stand by you." That's wonderful. Now, I'm not here to put down the president. Hope you understand. I heard a lady that had been promised FEMA will be here and everything's going to work out. We're going to take care. And the lady this week said, I haven't heard any more. Some of them are still hurting after all of these weeks and months. No power. No home. No, nothing from FEMA. Nothing from the government. And the thought came to me, we can promise so much. Our leaders can promise so much. And oftentimes it's nothing more than a promise. But when God speaks, it'll happen. It will happen. Preaching the word. Persecution caused them to be scattered. They went everywhere preaching the word. And some ended up where I was raised. Some ended up in North Carolina where my folks were raised. My dad and my mother heard the gospel and got saved. I heard the gospel and got saved. And somebody preached the word and you heard the gospel and got saved. We ought to thank God tonight for the gospel. The third thing that I want to mention tonight. Persecution brought the church along and preaching brought the church along, but it was the power of God. It was the power of God. I should use my right hand because the right hand of God represents power. It was the power of God that got the job done. There are so many tonight, charismatic, fluid with their oratory. They know how to say the right things, and if there's anybody that says it that way, I'm the opposite. I don't mean that ignorance is bliss. But some things, sometimes I kill the King's English, my wife tells me. This is the part that I want you to know. Whatever we do, and all that we do, anything we do, it amounts to nothing without the power of God. Without the anointing of God upon it. They were persecuted. They preached, but the power of God was manifest. Man alive, I would like to be in a service like they were when Peter walked down the street. Don't you know that was something? People had been healed. The power of God was moving. They didn't have time for Peter to pray for everyone individually. They just brought the lame and the blind and the crippled and all the rest and put them there beside the street. And Peter walked down the street by the road and his shadow fell on them. And when his shadow fell on them, the power of God brought healing. I want you to know the same God that did that for Peter is still our God tonight. There's power. There's power in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus said to Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come. What did Jesus ask? Come on. There's power in the Word. That's all Peter had to know. That's all he had to hear. Jesus said it. Come on. Come on, Peter. Man, if I was younger, I'd probably jump on his bench and just show. He'd come over the side of that boat. Hit the water. He didn't go under. He hit the water walking. Man. I don't know about you, but that's the power of God. When there's time for feeding of the people, 5,000 men plus children and women and children, and didn't have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they brought them to Jesus. You want to see the power of God. Yeah, he breaks them and brushes them. Asked the Father to brush it. And he began to break. Now your disciples, 5 of you. He begins to break and you bring a basket and he breaks and fills your basket. And breaks another, some more fills your basket. And breaks some more fills up. And you go out to feed that whole crowd. And when you come back, the Lord doesn't waste anything. He said, take up the leftovers. And they had 12 baskets left over. Let me tell you something, that's the power of God. If God can feed 5,000 with a boy's lunch and that 12 baskets left over, God can take care of them upon the lifetime like that. God can never need them alive. God can bless your family. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The word of God is powerful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How did the church grow? What caused the church to grow? Persecution, preaching, and the power of God. night, first Sunday of the year. How would like for us to take that in our minds and in our heart? I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have any idea what will happen in the year 2013 in the economy and in the moral and the moral standards of our country. They're going down the tube. I don't know what's going to happen, but one thing I know Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know the Word of God is going to stand the test of the ages. And when this world is on fire during the tribulation period, I won't know the world is going to still know that our God's alive. Amen. The Word is real. The power of God is real. He's going to see us through to the other side. I love Him tonight. I love Him tonight. I love Him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Persecution, preaching, and the power of God. Thank you, Lord. Because of the power, come on to the piano, honey. Pagans were saved. That's power. Idol worshippers were born again. That's power. Those in bondage were set free. That's power. People without hope were brought into the family of God through the power of Almighty God. And I close. I got a calendar this week from Gospel for Asia. I gave it to Fred yesterday morning. We received two from Samaritan's Prayer Person, and we've given them out. And one from R. Hayden Smith Funeral Home, and we've given that out. But I got a letter from Gospel for Asia, from the gentleman that is in charge, and how God is blessing. And I mentioned in the Sunday school class, 14 fellowships, Christian fellowships, are starting up every day in the Far East and in the Middle East, India, Indonesia, and the countries of that area. 14 new fellowships. For $11,000, you can build a church. I've got a picture of a church. I've got it in there as they're starting to build and put up the walls. And one when they were maybe just beginning. And one when the church is finished and the crowd. Talk about a crowd. $11,000 church had a crowd that would fill this church. They don't have pews. They sit on the floor because of room. They've got a picture. I got a picture of a church standing outside of that $11,000 building. 14 fellowships. Every day is started. We're supporting 16 national ministers coming out of Bible school, going out in the field, preaching. And Brother Canahan wrote a letter and said, told a story about a man that was a witch doctor. And they were having the Jesus film, and I have a copy. We're going to show it in that church one night. The Jesus film. And this man was sitting there, and he was the first one to respond. The witch doctor got saved. And because of his influence in the town, he talked to them all, and they all of them accepted Christ, the whole town. I think it was 400 people. The village got saved. And they built a church. And I've got the letter. I can't remember it all, but I think the church even now is running 300 and something. Our church has helped to build. We're supporting 16 nationals every month, $30 apiece every month, besides the other 11 ministers that you support, and thank God for every one of you. Do you know why I'm saying this? Because preaching the Word of God changes things. And those that don't have it in their own language, when they have a film of Jesus in their language, don't have the Bible, have one film of Jesus, and they sit out there in the open with a sheet or whatever they show it at. Thousands are getting saved, and our church gives money every month for the Jesus film. Thank God. What are you saying, preacher? Persecution, preaching, and power. God help us. See the church grow for the glory of God. Pray for revival. Pray for Brother Judy. Pray for his family. I believe God's working. I believe it. I believe God's working, amen. Getting his people ready. Will you stand together with me?